man. The whole world's living in a digital dream. It's not really there, it's all on the screen. Makes me forget who I am. I'm an analog man. Yeah, I'm an analog man in a digital world. I'm gonna get me an analog girl who loves me for what I am.
Okay, so that was Joe Walsh with Analog Man. I'm Dom Robinson, and you're listening to the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. It's a weekly show where I look through the week's releases in movies and video games. There's some news, plus the charts, and a look at what's new on TV. Now, DVDfever.co.uk is a non-profit website and really deserves your attention, so go there now. And also, if you've got anything to say about anything you hear on the show, do get in touch via the Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/DVDfevershow. Okay, so in the show this week, in the first hour, it's all about films. And we start off with Noomi Rapace, who searches for the meaning of life in Prometheus at the cinema. And then we have the top 10 movie charts. Then look at the new cinema releases out this Friday, including Your Sister's Sister and Killer Joe. And also the new Blu-rays and DVDs out this week, including Young Adult with Charlize Theron and Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance with Nicolas Cage. Okay. So we started with Prometheus, and it's the first full feature film which I've seen in IMAX, and it felt like being shouted at in the face for a full 2 hours, but in a good way. I've only ever seen one film previously in IMAX, and that was a short film of around 40 minutes, many moons ago, the content of which I've completely forgotten about. In fact, the IMAX is probably the closest thing you can get to a theme park experience without travelling too far, and given how I've spent enough of my life in Alton Towers, it's not somewhere I particularly want to go back to. So if I can get the same kind of thrill ride at the Odeon in Manchester, I'll be a frequent visitor to that screen. One of the earliest moments in the film to behold was a simple one, as we see Dr. Elizabeth Shaw, Noomi Rapace from the original Girl with a Dragon Tattoo trilogy, uncovering something which we later find out to be a tomb containing a mysterious massive stone head, and scores of pods that look like enclosed lava lamps, but opaque ones, for which there wouldn't really be much of a market. Anyway, imagine you have a big screen full of mud, and someone from the other side claws a big hole in it. Well, sorry, claws a small hole in it, rather. Then you have Noomi's face staring back at you, filling the screen as she tries to see what's on the other side. Naturally, from her point of view, it's not us. Another moment comes when we see David, Michael Fassbender, this movie's automaton, pottering about on the ship Prometheus before waking everyone out of hypersleep. The camera has a fixed viewpoint, but the 3D is very effective and it really makes you feel like you're there watching him. So what exactly is the film about? Well, everyone wants to know the answer to life, the universe and everything, and in short, so do they. However, like a lot of other sci-fi films in which you start exploring tombs that have remained silent for many centuries, accidentally stepping on something you shouldn't, leads to something disturbing that should have stayed asleep, and therefore, the end of the world as we know it is imminent. Basically, the safe money dictates that they should have stayed home, made a cuppa, and put their feet up for Holmes Under the Hammer. But that wouldn't have made very engaging viewing, would it? That said, Holmes Under the Hammer wouldn't be particularly thrilling in IMAX, but we do see a segment of Lawrence of Arabia in 3D, of which David is clearly a big fan. When it comes to the cast, leading the way are the lovers Drs. Elizabeth Shaw of Rapace and Charlie Holloway, Logan Marshall Green, who discovered a sort of map a couple of years earlier, on the Isle of Skye. Well, they didn't see it as a map, more of an invitation to head to the middle of nowhere in deep space and meet with the aliens. Charlize Theron plays Meredith Vickers, owner of the Prometheus itself, and who has her own separate living quarters so she doesn't have to associate with the hoi polloi for as long as is necessary. Yes, she's rather a snob and has such an expressionless face for most of the time that you know others would think she's a robot too. Guy Pearce is the elderly Peter Weyland, founder of the Weyland Corporation, whose name is synonymous throughout the Alien saga, and who pops up early on to give a holographic lecture about what the team are about to face once they've arrived at their destination. Now, I didn't realise it was Pearce as I was watching him, as the makeup is done to make him look ancient, although he does look more like David Attenborough would in about another 10 years. The rest of the crew is made up of ship's captain, Janik, Idris Elba, and the other workers, the aggressive Fifield, Sean Harris, plus Milburn, Rafe Spall with a dodgy American accent, Ford, Kate Dickey, notable only for being the other female on board and for having an incomprehensible Scots accent, plus Chase, Emin Elliott, and Ravel, Benedict Wong. The latter two spend so little time on screen it's a wonder they are included in the script. Their only conversation is about a bet over something where the winner gets 100 credits. I lost track of what this was about, however. Yes, Prometheus is technically an alien prequel, but don't think about that too much while watching it, as you'll be wondering why the computer graphics and terminals featured are far more advanced here than in the 1979 movie. For example, there, everyone used CRT monitors to display the information, whereas here, they're not only able to map an underground set of tunnels with some whizzo red sparkly things, they also feed back to the ship with a 3D virtual map that completes in real time in front of the crew. There are some moments which feel like they come straight out of Alien, which made me feel like we were treading water for a while, hence it's not a 10 for the film itself, such as seeing the crew being brought out of hypersleep and share their first breakfast after coming round. Yes, there are essential scene-setting moments and there's no way around that, but you do rather feel like you want to get to the meat of the story much sooner. One thing I wondered, however, was that I understand the IMAX screen ratio is 1.44 to 1, but there was a small black bar at the top giving an impression of a 16:9 ratio. But I tried to work out how that will compare to that version will compare to a 2.35 to 1 conventional ratio for this film. I got the impression during the film that I was watching a mixture of cropped and open matte shots, e.g. if a face filled the screen, then it was cropped, but there are others that had the impression of being open matte, which is when it sort of looks like the black bars have been removed in a way. That's sort of the simplest description. Thanks, however, to Libretio on Digital Spies forums who answered my query. He said, in most cases, they letterbox the entire 2.35 to 1 frame across the middle of the IMAX screen, with large black bars top and bottom. Since the image is so big anyway, those bars aren't that much of a problem. The IMAX version of the Polar Express was 2.00:1, and Apollo 13 was 1.66:1. So a few films do opt for an open frame version for large format exhibition, especially for something like Prometheus, which was shot at 16:9 and framed for 2.35, or both in this case, which compromises both ratios, but that's another discussion, he said. Excuse me. Okay, so overall, Prometheus is a film well worth seeing. It's not perfect, and as such, just gets 8 out of 10 from me, but if you do get a chance to see it in IMAX, then it quickly upgrades it to a must-see. It took me a little while to get used to the IMAX effect, given how massive the screen is, and there are occasional moments where the effect is a little blurred. But overall, it's fantastically impressive, and when there's text on screen early on, it just feels like it's just floating in the air in front of realistic action. It's just unbeatable. So, 8 out of 10 for the film, but 10 out of 10 for the experience, definitely. But, okay, so that's my review of Prometheus, and it's a film that's eely, eely good. Yeah, if you've seen the film, you'll know what I'm referring to. Either way, while the rest of you are confused, I'm going to play a bit of music before we go into the top 10 movie charts. And it's going to be Thomas Dolby and Airhead. And this one goes out especially for a good friend of mine, John Lavely, in Illinois. So here we go, Thomas Dolby and Airhead. This is 106.6. Okay, so you're back with the DVD Fever Show, and this section we're going to have a look at the top 10 movie charts. And as I said before, I'll go through the US movie charts here, because for a while I could never find a reliable source for the UK ones, but you know, I just find them more interesting anyway. But we start with number one, which is, well, it's always a good place to start, which is Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted. Yeah, I'm excited already about it. It's taken $34.1 million in this week and $119 million overall so far. Now, Alex, Marty, Gloria and Melman are still trying to get back to the Big Apple with their beloved Central Park Zoo. But first, they need to find the penguins. Oh, dear. When they travel to Monte Carlo, they attract the attention of animal control after gate-crashing a party and are joined by the penguins, King Julian and co, the monkeys and a new arrival, a performing llama. How do a lion, zebra, hippo, giraffe, four penguins, two monkeys, three lemurs and a llama travel through Europe without attracting attention? They join a travelling circus. Wow. It stars Ben Stiller, Chris Rock, David Schwimmer, Jada Pinkett Smith, Sacha Baron Cohen, Frances McDormand, Jessica Chastain, Bryan Cranston and Martin Short. So, you know, decent cast, but if I sound bored, it's because it's a CGI film. And, they're ten a penny. They really are. You know, five-year-olds will like them. Three-year-olds will like them. My nephew's three. He'll love this, but I'll pass. Just not my bag at all. Number two, we've got Prometheus, which took $20.7 million this week and has taken $89.4 million overall. It's already been covered in the first segment, so do make sure you go and see that. Obviously in IMAX if you can do. Number three, we've got Rock of Ages. Now, set in 1987 Los Angeles, Drew and Sherry are two young people chasing their dreams in the big city. When they meet, it's love at first sight, though their romance will face a series of challenges. It's a film adaptation of the 2006 Chris D'Arienzo comedy rock stroke jukebox Broadway musical of the same name. It's difficult to get my words out there. It stars country singer Julianne Hough and Diego Boneta with an ensemble cast including Tom Cruise, Russell Brand, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Paul Giamatti, Maylin Akerman, Bryan Cranston, with Alec Baldwin and Mary J. Blige. That's what I call her. The film has the music of Bon Jovi, Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, Foreigner, Journey, Poison, Europe and Twisted Sister. And I don't really go in for musicals. And while Tom Cruise really does, well, usually pulls out all the stops to do something different, I think this is one performance I'm going to give a miss to. It's also done very badly for an opening week as well, because it's taken $14.4 million in America in its opening week, and it cost $75 million to make. So, given that film has to make about three times back what it spends to include the cost of promotion, it's game over for this one, I think. Not unless it becomes like Showgirls and ends up doing so badly that it ends up being good. No, it's still bad, but it had a cult following anyway. Number four, we have That's My Boy. Another film to get excited about. Which took $13.5 million in its opening week. Why am I getting not very excited about it? Well, you'll hear by the some of the next words that I say. While still in his teens, Donnie, Adam Sandler, fathered a son, Todd, Andy Samberg, and raised him as a single parent up until Todd's 18th birthday. Now, after not seeing each other for years, Todd's world comes crashing down on the eve of his wedding when an uninvited Donnie suddenly shows up. Trying desperately to reconnect with his son, Donnie is now forced to deal with the repercussions of his bad parenting skills. Also starring Mary Elizabeth Winstead, this looks like any other Adam Sandler film, but with lots of added F-words, so I think I'll pass. Excuse me. And number five, we've got Snow White and the Huntsman, which, you know, I think it's had a... Well, it's taken $122 million in America so far. I think it's done pretty well, had some reasonable reactions, but I don't know, all I can see is it just seems to star Kristen Stewart as a 12-year-old boy. I mean Snow White. Plus Chris Hemsworth as the Huntsman, with Charlize Theron popping up again. Ian McShane, Bob Hoskins, Ray Winston, Nick Frost, Eddie Marsden and Toby Jones. And the trailer just sent me into a coma quicker than eating a poison apple. There's just too much Snow White at the moment, with the equally dreadful... excuse me. Equally dreadful looking Mirror Mirror. and some similar dross on Channel 5. But if you do want to see the trailer, then they're all on the Facebook page. So go to facebook.com/DVDFeverShow. Number 6, we have Men in Black 3, which, well, it's taken $153 million so far. And in this one, an alien criminal kills the young Agent K in 1969, altering the timeline, changing the agency and placing the Earth in danger. Veteran Agent J, Will Smith, must travel back in time to 1969 to before the murder and work with the young Agent K, Josh Brolin, to save him, the agency, the Earth and humanity itself. Also starring Tommy Lee Jones for about 5 minutes, as Mark Kermode put it, this is a sequel that no one was waiting for, since the first film was brilliant, but the second was rubbish, and the trailer for this just really doesn't grab me at all. And Will Smith is just the same in everything, and I think I've had enough of him, really. Number 7, we've got Avengers Assemble, which has taken $587 million to date. Number 8, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Number 9, Moonrise Kingdom, which is the latest film from Wes Anderson, which I do still want to see. And number 10 is, obviously, the last one, and that's Battleship. Okay, so that's the top 10 movies for this week. And now I'll have a bit of music before we go into the new cinema releases out this Friday. And I'm going to go and have a great big glass of water. This is 106.6. Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. And in this section, we're going to have a look at the new cinema releases out this Friday, starting with Your Sister's Sister. And by the way, all the trailers for all the films on the Facebook page, just go to facebook.com/DVD Fever Show. And in Your Sister's Sister, Iris invites her friend Jack to stay at a family's island getaway after the death of his brother. At their remote cabin, Jack's drunken encounter with Hannah, Iris's sister, kicks off a revealing stretch of days. It's a bit of a... That's about it, basically, for the description. Starring Emily Blunt as Iris and Rosemary DeWitt as Hannah, also with Mark Duplass as Jack, I got seriously bored watching this trailer. Emily Blunt is good-looking, but she's appearing in many American movies these days, all with a token British accent. So watch one of those instead. I recommend The Adjustment Bureau. That was brilliant. Also this week we have Friends with Kids, which it's like Friends with Benefits, but taking it one step further. Two best friends decide to have a child together while keeping their relationship platonic, so they can avoid the toll kids take on romantic relationships. Yeah. Starring Adam Scott, Jennifer Westfeldt, who also wrote and directed it, also Christine Wiig and Chris O'Dowd, Megan Fox and Edward Burns. Well, this is two for two in terms of tedious trailers. The two friends get together, they have a kid, and when they each attempt to date someone else, you know, you just know it's going to end up with the two of them getting together properly towards the very end. Dull, dull, dull. Avoid. So what hope have we got for the next film? Exit Humanity, which is a young man's struggle to survive in the aftermath of a deadly undead outbreak during the American Civil War. Well, starring Brian Cox, Mark Gibson, Dee Wallace and Bill Moseley, I'm afraid this will not help add to the lineup of recommendable films out this week. It's a zombie film set during the American Civil War, but just as you see some of the baddies bumped off, it's done with a load of pontificating over the top of it, which just makes you want to fall asleep. There was a 4-minute trailer as well, which was bad enough. So let's see what's up next. Oh dear, it's Joyful Noise, which is the story of a small town choir out to win a national competition despite overwhelming odds. A story of faith and determination by the choir leaders, Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton, and the young talent who give their all to win God's praise and beat the competition for the grand prize. Hallelujah. Starring Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton, this has predictable written all over it. Dolly herself was entertaining on BBC Breakfast last week, singing a couple of her songs, Note Perfect, when in her time zone it was 3 a.m. This is one film I'll avoid like the plague. Queen Latifah is part of a gospel choir, so you know how that's going to go. And I had to switch the trailer off when I heard a Michael Jackson song being sung, as he's long outstayed his welcome with me. Okay, so it's on to the last film that's out this Friday, and it's called Killer Joe. And when a debt puts a young man's life in danger, he turns to putting a hit out on his evil mother in order to collect the insurance. Directed by William Friedkin, who also did The Exorcist, a film which I didn't really like the film itself, but I really did enjoy the making of it, which just seems weird. I enjoyed that a lot more than the film. I don't know how my brain works, God alone knows. The film also stars Matthew McConaughey, Emile Hirsch, Juno Temple, Thomas Hayden Church and Gina Gershon. And all hopes rest on this film as the one to watch this week. And I think it certainly is. I last saw McConaughey in one of his slick roles in The Lincoln Lawyer, and here he is in a bad guy role, probably the first time I've seen him do that. And he's always worth a watch anyway. The trailer was stylish and never made me bored, and unlike the rest of the films on view this week, so this one I think is a must-see. So at least we have one film worth watching. And with that, we're going to have a bit of music before I bring you a roundup of the new Blu-rays and DVDs out this week. This is 106.6. Thank you.
looking up, I can now see that there's not much left in me. Nothing is real but pain now. Hold my breath as I wish for death. Oh, please, God, wake me. Back in the womb, it's much too real. In pumps life that I must. That sticks in me, just like a wartime novelty, tied to machines that make me be. Cut this life off from me. Hold my breath as I wish for death. Oh, please, God, wake me. We'll be right back.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. And in this section, we have a look at the new Blu-rays and DVDs out this week, starting with Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. This is a sequel to 2007's Ghost Rider and features Nicolas Cage returning to the starring role as Johnny Blaze. It's also the second film to be released under the Marvel Knights banner after 2008's Punisher Warzone. It was directed by Mark Neveldine and Brian Taylor, from scripts written by David Escoyer, Scott Gimple and Seth Hoffman. But is there a plot? Well, as Johnny Blaze hides out in Eastern Europe, he's called upon to stop the devil, who is trying to take on human form. It also stars Kieran Hines, Idris Elba and Johnny Whitworth. I never saw the original film, but this also comes from the directors who made the two Crank films with Jason Statham, and also Gamer, starring Gerard Butler and Dexter's Michael C. Hall. The trailer made me laugh a few times, so it does seem worth a look. I also asked on the Internet Movie Database as to whether I could watch this without having seen the first one, and the answer was yes. They cover the backstory again anyway, so yeah, you missed nothing. By the way, of course, all the trailers are on the DVD Fever Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/DVD Fever Show. Also this week we have The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, which is still in the top 10 of American films. And it follows a group of British retirees who decide to outsource their retirement to less expensive and seemingly exotic India. Enticed by advertisements for the newly restored Marigold Hotel, and bolstered with visions of a life of leisure, they arrive to find the palace a shell of its former self. Though the new environment is less luxurious than imagined, they're forever transformed by their shared experiences, discovering that life and love can begin again when you let go of the past. Starring Maggie Smith, Bill Nighy, Judy Dench, Dev Patel and Tom Wilkinson, the trailer just played out like a British farce and just really didn't grab me at all. But then, I'm not a middle-aged woman, or a pensioner woman, like my mum. She loves this, I think. I'm sure she saw this. It's not for men at all. Also this week we have The Vow, another film that's not really for men at all either. A car accident puts Paige, Rachel McAdams, in a coma. Sadly, it doesn't put the writer in a coma either. May as well have been. And when she wakes up with a severe memory loss, her husband Leo, Channing Tatum, works to win her heart again. Giving the film 2.5 stars out of 4, Roger Ebert from the Chicago Sun-Times found it a pleasant enough as a date movie, but that's all. USA Today wrote that it may appeal to the most rabid fans of tear-jerk romances like The Notebook, but it's a hard-to-swallow maudlin tale. Also starring Jessica Lange and Sam Neill, this looks like a syrupy romantic mess. I do not want to see it. Okay, so that's the first lot of new releases out this week. I'm going to have a bit of music, and then I'll be back with the rest of the new Blu-rays and DVDs out now. This is 106.6.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise, politicians will philander, you too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund, maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. You never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
Okay, so you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6 for the last part of this first hour. We continue our look at the DVDs out this week, including The Innkeepers. And after 100 years of service, the Yankee Pedlar Inn is shutting its doors for good. The last remaining employees, Claire, Sarah Paxton, and Luke, Pat Healy, are determined to uncover proof of what many believe to be one of New England's most haunted hotels. As the inn's final days draw near, odd guests check in as a pair of minimum wage ghost hunters begin to experience strange and alarming events that may ultimately cause them to be mere footnotes in the hotel's long unexplained history. Now the trailer itself is an oddity, and it just feels like it uses ideas from too many films that have gone before and just comes across as a confusing mess, so I'm not going to be visiting this inn at all. Also this week we have Young Adult, where Mavis Gary, a writer of teen literature, returns to a small hometown to relive her glory days and attempt to reclaim her happily married high school sweetheart. When returning home proves more difficult than she thought, Mavis forms an unusual bond with a former classmate who hasn't quite got over high school either. And starring Charlize Theron, I've heard good things about it, and it does look brilliant, so I really do want to see this. Some of the films out this week, we've got A Dangerous Method, that's the David Cronenberg film, Hunky Dory, Soldier of Vengeance with Steven Seagal, Howl's Moving Castle, and Wanderlust. Some TV series and other things. We have CSI Miami Season 9. Friday Night Lights Season 1 and Friday Night Light Feature Film Pack. Well, a double bill of both of them anyway. We have Pink Floyd, The Story of Wish You Were Here, which was on BBC4 a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned that on the programme. I really, really enjoyed that. And also the something I don't enjoy, The Ricky Gervais Show Season 2. Then there's Shameless USA Season 1, which I watched a bit of the first episode of that, and William H. Macy plays Frank Gallagher, and he's barely in it. First episode, he's barely in it. Rubbish. Silk Series 2, True Love Series 1, which I'll come on to later. And also a Stephen Fry collection of six DVDs, including Life of the Manic Depressive, Stephen Fry in America, Wagner and Me, and Last Chance to See. And there's also some Blu-ray premieres. We've got Abel Ferrara's King of New York, The Aristocats, Borgen Series 1, Double Indemnity, The Lost Weekend. Double Indemnity and The Lost Weekend, both classics from Eureka, where there's a single disc version available, as well as a slightly more expensive steelbook version, around about £18. There's also The Man from Snowy River, Pinocchio, Roxy Music Live at the Apollo, Stone Temple Pilots Alive in the Windy City, Teaching Mrs. Tingle, and Yellow Sky. Okay, coming up in the second hour, we've got a mixture of video games and TV, starting with the Top 10 Games Charts. But first of all, we're going to have a bit of music to take us up to the top of the hour. And this one goes out especially for Nita Lumiere, who has an engaging advice column on her website, nitalumiere.com. This is Glenn Campbell and Rhinestone Cowboy. This is 106.6.
Same old song. I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks of Broadway, where hustle's the name of the game, and nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain. There's been a load of compromising on the road. But I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me, like a rhinestone cowboy. But I'm gonna be where the lights are.